Blog Talk Radio.
Kings and Holden, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings and Holden, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings and Holden, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Your favorite Blog Talk Radio show.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the J. King Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jay King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me and my co-host, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis.
What's up? Good morning, everyone. Feeling good. Last day of sunshine.
Robert Redwine.
He's going back to Alaska. Good morning, America. Hello, global internet world.
And ladies and gentlemen, coming to the microphone is an icon and a legend.
Oh, yeah.
And a radio show host who needs a freak. He's a pimp, player, and hustler when it comes to getting his cash.
Shoo, shoo, shine used to cost the dime, baby.
He's the Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, and he's the Daddy Mac of all Daddy Macs.
I'm 62, and I'm singing Criss Cross Mickety Mickety.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about none other than our general manager, our program director.
Whip it.
Our leader.
Whip it good.
Our head honcho. Our chief MF.
What?
Our Sambo.
Nigga, African American. Spooky. Spooky.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mr. Lynn Tolliver Jr.
All aboard.
Now, Robert, when he said "Shoo Shoo Shine," you don't know who made that song, do you?
Shoo Shine Boy. That was
Eddie Kendricks, but Shoo Shoo Shine.
Of course. Shoo Shine Boy. Yeah.
That's not Shoo.
Shoo Shine.
Used to cost a dime. A penny a dime.
That was the Dynamic Superiors.
Dynamic Superior. That's where Prince got his whole look from.
Oh, really?
Dynamic Superiors.
That boy, the Dynamic Superiors, he was all girl.
Yes, he was, because they did me and Mr. Jones. They were friends of mine a long time ago, where he pretended to give head to the guy on stage.
Oh, no.
Right
Robert,
up your alley, Red Wine. Right up your alley, buddy.
You would have been great in that group, Robert.
I'm a heterosexual male here.
I know. I'm just saying, but I know that. I know you're a heterosexual male. It's just that I know that sometimes you like to put on girl panties and stuff, and you like to act out stuff. But this would have been a great group for you to be acting out in. I'm giving you some props as a heterosexual male who's very versatile, and every now and then you know how to
break on through to the other side.
Yeah, baby. But I think you and the lead singer for the Dynamic Superiors would have been a great team.
Twosome.
You guys could have been in a group called the Connectors.
This feels like a setup here.
No, it's not a setup. You just be you, because every gay male is a heterosexual male. Every gay male.
Oh no, I'm a heterosexual male here.
I know you are, Robert. We know. Okay, so Lynn, I was going to bring my computer with me, right?
Yeah.
But before I decided to bring my computer, you know, I have my little carrying bag that I have, you know, my little books and stuff in, you know, in case I want to give people one of my books or, you know, and I carry my other stuff, my shaving cream and stuff like that, right? Because you got to pull it out. And, you know, so I have a little bag for that. Then I have my bag that I have all my clothes in, right? So I said, well, maybe I should bring my computer. So I called the airline, you know, just to see what the policy is with bags, right?
Yeah.
So to get to Alaska, we had to stop in Phoenix. So we flew from L.A. to Phoenix and then from Phoenix to Alaska. Don't ask me why. Because of the ticket price.
Yeah.
So I call to check on the bag. Do you know that they wanted to charge $25 for each leg?
Wow. For each what?
Each leg. In other words,
so
it's going to cost me
twice.
$25 for my bag to go from L.A.
to
Phoenix.
Phoenix to Alaska.
And then
it had been a $100 round trip.
Yeah.
Per bag?
Yeah, per bag I checked. You know what I said to that bag that I was taking on my computer in it?
Hey, I'll catch you on the next plane trip, sweetie.
Yeah, you're going to have to stay right where you at. You're going to have to stay right here.
Isn't this crazy, Jay? He's like this. Fly for $89 round trip. You.
Right.
Okay. What about my luggage? Luggage is going to be $450.
Exactly.
What? Oh, my. Pumpkin pie. Oh, my pumpkin pie. So you're in a nice hotel?
No. I mean, you know, we're just in a regular. You know, okay, so let me tell you guys. Now, you know, I wanted to stay at the Hilton,
okay,
which is where our reservations were at first. But they changed them. Because the Hilton and the Sheraton and hotels like that.
Yeah.
In the state of Alaska right now. Are having a labor dispute with the unions.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not politically correct for us to stay in one of those hotels.
That's not unionized.
But, well, yeah, and so they have us at a Motel 6. I'm joking, Robert. We're not at a Motel 6.
Oh.
But we're at the room.
Too bad, TJ.
He was like getting excited and shit.
He had a Mr. Continental breakfast.
National
Pico. I know you. You're highfalutin, King J. You like to order that. You're in Alaska. You're probably having that king salmon and stuff.
I'm gonna tell you what I'm having right now. I'm having some wake up pills because I need to wake up because I'm tired. I see it's seven. We didn't get to our room until around 1:45.
Wow.
This morning, and then you know, when you've been on the plane, and I didn't really sleep on the plane because writing my book on royalties, and so I didn't get a chance to really sleep on the plane. And then when you get here, you don't just go right to sleep because you got to wind down, you know. And then I didn't want to oversleep because I don't have an alarm clock, and I don't use an alarm clock to wake up. I use my body clock to wake up.
Your body clock, body clock. Let me see your body clock.
Be quiet, Mr. Shoo Shoo Shine.
I would not let you see any parts of my body, even if it's just a clock.
Well, King J, you're in good shape, you know.
But that ain't got nothing to do.
You been checking that nigga out, Robert?
Robert, why are you checking me out like that? That's not.
You're pretty smooth, you know, King J.
How many times
That's not something a dude should be saying to another dude, Robert.
Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah.
No problem. I just don't want you to get, you know, last time you almost said something out of line, Michael Cooper almost came to that phone beating your ass. I just don't want that to happen.
Okay. Oh, no.
Hey, let me ask you something. Would you rather be in bed with a naked woman or get your ass kicked by a guy who you asked what he got on?
Naked woman any day of the week.
Well, you are in bed with a naked woman. You're in bed with yourself.
I can be your mother and your sister, too.
Trust me, we know you can be a sister.
You can't be my mother and sister. They're both dead. Okay, so now,
Ireland.
you can't be no parts of my family, Robert, with your freaky panty wearing ass.
And I have fun with you gentlemen every morning.
And that's fantastic, buddy. Hey, listen, man. I have fun with you, you gentlewoman. I couldn't pick on you if I didn't like you, Robert.
Thank you, Lion. I had a sexual male here.
Whatever,
Robert,
whatever your bag is, just come out of it.
Robert, I could pick on you whether I liked you or not.
You're just a bully mentor. That's all you are, KJ. Just a.
You see who threw that?
And
I bet you haven't even seen it yet. The sleigh ride with the Kings of the Mornings.
No, I haven't seen that one yet, Lion. Are you going to put it on the Facebook?
I'll put it on Facebook.
Oh no! I hope you got me in a macho light.
None of us are in a macho light. We're all on you know, we got our little snowsuits on and we're sleigh riding, you know, riding our sleds.
Chestnuts roasting by an open fire.
I knew you would have to sing about chestnuts.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when you like nuts to rest.
No way, Jose. It's a
on his chin, chin nuts. Chin nuts roasted on Robert red wine. Ooh.
Chin.
Wow.
Oh, Robert, you and the damn chestnuts.
No, Johnny was supposed to say cool.
Cool.
Wait.
Not cool.
So, needless to say, Lynn, I don't have my computer with me.
Right.
Oh. Because of the
call. Butterfly says hello.
Who?
Beautiful butterfly.
Hey, hey, BB.
Hey,
it's
beautiful.
Are two bees in there?
No, not yet.
Okay. Hopefully we done ran two bees. I think we ran two bees off yesterday.
Adelia put on the post that she is glad that you got rid of him yesterday. I guess it was.
Yeah. I hurt his little feelings. And I liked it. I'm glad that his feelings got hurt. He always trying to hurt somebody else's feelings, so his feelings need to get hurt a little bit. It's all right to hurt a feeling. When I get that feeling, I won't.
Tatiana McAllister says hello too.
Hey, what's happening? How's E-Mac feeling, man?
She didn't say that yet.
Yeah, we love you, E-Mac.
Yeah,
you said,
love you, E-Mac.
Oh.
I missed the show last night. I had to do some stalking.
Stalking?
Yeah, out at the base. You know, the commissary.
Who you stalking?
Oh, the commissary, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said stalking.
No.
That's what I thought he said, too.
I don't stalk people.
I don't know.
Hand a cat
over.
Growing.
You in Robert Red Wine territory.
Oh, yeah, babe.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Robert,
yeah,
I want you to be honest with me. Eyeball to eyeball.
Que mano to mano.
Well, you can't
do
that.
No, eyeball to eyeball.
Okay,
yeah, if I ask you to go mono to mono, you ain't gonna be able to make it.
King J, you're wearing briefs today.
What are you talking about, bro?
My bad.
Well, what you got on, pantyhose?
I believe Robert walk around with pantyhose on, feeling real frisky.
Well, Flip Wilson made a lot of money wearing pantyhose.
And
you ain't Flip. You're not
Flip. And Flip Wilson did it as a shtick. You do it because you like it.
Oh, no.
You do it because you want a stick.
I don't want to see Killer. I want to see Killer.
Delia said hurt people. Try to hurt other people. She says that's what Joe Levy says. And you know, Brown Beasley, I don't believe that Brown Beasley really tried to hurt nobody, Lynn.
Yeah.
I just believe Brown Beasley, he just likes hurt people.
You think so?
You know, yeah. She said, so did Joe Namath.
Yeah, Joe Namath did wear patty hose.
Hey, we got a call at 702-469.
I hope that's Kennedy because she's so sexy. Oh yeah.
You know who that is?
I hope it's Kennedy. That's Vegas.
I'd have to open up the
Who is this? 702-469.
Do you have to know who it is to call?
Is that Anthony King? AK?
I'm calling to check on my cousin to see if he made it to Alaska.
Oh no. AK.
What's happening, cousin? Yeah, I did make it. I'm here.
I've been on hold for a long time, man. I mean, I've been in the queue and waiting.
That's the kings of the morning. That's Lynn.
Yeah, I know.
I bet you Lynn ain't even looking at the Lynn. When
I wasn't. I was uploading the show for tonight for Gail Smith Harris.
Like, who is this? It could be anybody in the world.
Yeah, but we monitor because Romney people be calling in, Donald Trump people be calling in. You know what?
I got a feeling you had something to do with that because
No.
I'll take full responsibility. I was uploading a show. I wasn't even looking.
Mm-hmm. Lee and Jay got you out there attacking people now.
Tagging people.
No.
Jay don't run my life.
Yes, Rodriguez.
We do this as a team. It ain't none of that. We all teamed up around Romney.
So Romney people then after you?
No, they're not after me. We just call them and find. We wanted to find out why he cut off the credit cards for his team right after he lost.
Yeah. Well, man, when I called you this morning, it was dark. You know, I can't see that good no more. I can't find the letters on the phone, the text.
I gave you some glasses last time you were at the house.
I got three pair, but I got to wear them at different times. See, some is for closer. Some is, and you know, I can't drive that good either. So I got a pair just to get me around the corner and stuff. And then I got... Somebody laughing at my calamities, man.
Yeah, that's no, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis.
I was just thinking they got that AARP phone that the numbers are big and glowing dark.
They do have an AARP phone. And you can get it now because you just turned 50. Because you have to be 50 to get the AARP phone.
Yeah, I don't have an AARP phone, but I have the AARP card ever since I've been 50. I had it for 12 years. You get discounts and all that kind of shit.
I got to get my AARP card. How do I get it, Lynn?
You just go to AARP.com, .org, because it's a nonprofit thing, and, you know, give them the information, and they'll send you a card. It's like $12 for 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a hell of a deal.
And, you know, it's funny. Graham Cracker, first of all, we never met. How you doing, man?
All right.
I know. Somebody else was talking about AARP. And look at the conversation we're having. I'm 50 talking about AARP, and I'm interested in it, too.
Hey, it gives deals.
Carker knows about it because he gives deals. Carker ain't a white man. He ain't with a white woman for nothing, cuz.
Oh!
You a white woman?
Yeah, yeah. And Robert, if you say that one more time, I'm going to ask Lynn to put you on mute.
Oh, Robert.
Hey, what's up smooth and rough like David Ruffin? What's good with AK?
Hey, I saw a picture of you with Lori Milk.
Lori Milk told me to tell you hi.
Please give her a hug for me. Lori Milton was the first girl that I ever had the first love of my life. She's the first girl. We didn't never hug or kiss or nothing like that, but we touched hands. I was 14. I had an Earth, Wind, and Fire 8-track. And the song Imagination. That
so imagine and search my heart.
Oh, man.
That one?
She's still a dime piece, AK.
And you know what? In the A-track, you had to cue it up. You know, you couldn't rewind or forward, so it had to be preset to the song. And she would come over in the summer down the street over her cousin's house, and I preset Imagination by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And at 12 noon on Saturday, 14 years old, in the summertime, I walked by her cousin's house. Never do I come and search my heart. And she'd come out on the porch.
Ooh.
I let the A-track play.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Oh, she is so beautiful. Please give her a hug for me and tell her I said hi.
I got you, AK. She's still a dime.
Robert, and don't be putting on her panties, stretching them out while you're doing it. I know how you do.
No, I
don't do it.
Hey, tough.
Hey, Lynn. Yeah.
It's a lot of people up there asking about you. I've been talking to the Alaskans lately. A lot lately. Marcy San Martino, Colette. Keep Pearly in your prayers, y'all. Just know Pearly. You know, she's married now, Jay. Her husband is a veteran. He's a quadriplegic. He's in Memphis, so she's down there with him.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, she asked about you. Everybody knows you there, so, you know, hug everybody. You know,
I definitely will.
All right, now I'm up and be safe.
All right. I'll give you. It's not bad. It ain't bad. You got to wear a jacket, but it ain't freezing yet.
You tell Colette where they live and see what was funny about the crew. Jay told a fellow Alaskan, her name is Colette. I know y'all say names on this show, right?
Yeah.
Jay told her on a three-way call yesterday. Alaska hasn't changed, and where they live is like rugged terrain.
it is.
See, that wasn't as funny, but I'm going to tell you something. Right before that, what you didn't know is she said, AK, when's the last time you've been up here? I said, 1988. She said, oh, so much has changed.
They have Walmart and stuff like that, but nothing's changed. I mean, everything is pretty flat. Everything looks pretty much the same. You know, it's nothing. I mean, and it's like, and I love Alaska. You guys know, obviously I'm from Alaska too. And if I could live here, I wouldn't, because once you get out in the world. You know, one thing about Alaska is this. If you live here, you'll get, you know, number one, you don't have to worry about the economy. The economy is strong here. So finding a job ain't an issue. It's a little more than 600,000 people in the whole state now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, you know, there's 315,000 people in Anchorage. Before there was 250,000 people in Anchorage. So when we were here, when I was here back in, 83, 84, when did I leave? 85. Well, in 85, there was 255,000 people in the city of Anchorage, 30,000 people in Juneau, 90,000 people in Fairbanks, and then everybody else was scattered around the state. Today, there's 315,000 people in Anchorage, Alaska. So when you think about that land, you know, you're talking about 250,000 people versus, we're talking about 27 years ago that I left. You know, 28 years ago, I guess, 27, 28 years ago. And today, that's 315,000 people. That means only 65,000 people came up in here. 60,000 people came since I was here. There ain't a whole bunch of growth there. You know, and I know people in Alaska, they say Alaska's changed, because for them it's changed a lot because they see everything that changes. But when you come here, okay, you would say, wow, this is, you know, and then it's very one story, two story, three story buildings. You know, it's not a very big, not a very big building.
Well, then it's just that, if it's just that, then they all know you. They're looking forward to seeing you.
I'm glad to be here. Yeah, you said Marci San Martino.
Marci San Martino pretend like
he like me. He don't really like me, but I'm cool with that. I'll keep it at 100. Lynn.
Why would you say that?
Because it's the truth.
Did Marci San Martino tell you?
Marci San Martino don't have to tell me nothing. Okay, we're gonna talk about it later.
Okay.
We're gonna talk.
But did he say Jay?
We're gonna talk
like
about
you.
It later, cuz I'm gonna move on. We're gonna
you
put all this up right
I
now.
Say
I know
yeah.
we gotta move on to what I show. I love you.
Toodaloo. So now you're kicking me off the show.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I called to check on you.
No, because we gotta
bit.
Move with a show, cuz. We're gonna put you can stay right there. Put him on mute for a minute, Lynn. Stay right there, cuz. Don't hang up, we'll bring you back. So we can get to the news. Okay, we move closer, you guys. Alan Wayne Warren just sent me a text and said we move closer, so we're getting closer to winning this election. That's President Anthony King. For those of you who haven't heard his voice before, because we got a lot of new people from the time when Anthony was with us. You guys know him as AK. Anthony, a.k.a. King Lynn, play one of his records. I know we said we were going to do Whitney Houston first, but he threw our whole thing off.
Oh, yeah,
baby. Play one of his records. Put Robert on mute. Damn, oh, yeah, babe. I told you not to do it again. You're just getting just as bad as Dr. Princess. What are we going to play, Lynn?
Uh-oh, 2 B's is in.
Oh, God.
I'm going to find something. I got to put in AK.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I know we was lined up for Whitney, but, you know, AK came
it's
in.
Okay.
You know,
There's no plans. Just plays. You know, like you used to say in the neighborhood when you're playing football and the guys were in the huddle, plans don't work, plays do.
No, that's when you drew on your hand and you took your finger and you say, this is what I want you to do. Okay, I want you to run up to the car, right? At the car. Fake to the right. Go to the left. Go across the middle. But, okay, now, Johnny, when Jay does that, I want you to just streak across the feet like this, just like this. And you draw at an angle just like that. I'm going to hit you with the bomb because everybody's going to think I'm going with Jay. Ready?
And you know what happens is the people on the other side that you're playing against, they say, plans don't work, plays do, especially if they're kicking your ass.
Well, Jay kind of said it wrong, though. He goes, okay, well, you go over by the car, and then, Jay, I want you to go over by Tommy's house and turn.
Right.
I want to go by Leland's house, and I'm going to throw.
That's how it goes, sir.
Chance. I messed around, got caught in another romance. I don't know why I didn't listen to my heart, and now I sit and watch as we part. I'm down on my knees, now I'm feeling lonely. I'm down on my knees, should have been my one and only. I gotta try. My love back again. If I don't, well, I just lost my best friend. Blew it all on a little pleasure ride. Gotta put away my pride and get down on my knees. 'Cause now I'm feeling lonely. I'm down on my knees. You should have been my one and I'm down on my knees.
B.K. King with Down on My Knees from the Love is Everything CD. It's available at www.akking.com. Or you can get it at iTunes. So, what's up? Where's Six at? How you doing, Six? What happened, Lynn? Hello?
His mic is Lynn. Open.
You know he got that raggedy phone. I don't know why he don't get rid of that raggedy damn that raggedy phone. He calls this show all the time with that same raggedy phone.
Six. Six.
Raggedy. Six, six, six.
That's that tonic.
Okay.
Six,
mm-hmm.
six, six.
Okay, Lynn, let me. You know, you guys know I've been obsessed with the bad seeds since every time Brown Beasley come in.
Yeah.
This is the bad seed. He's in there, right? Huh?
No, he's gonna call back. I guess his phone dropped.
Oh no, I got them shoes here where no bottom of a pea can find them.
Better give me those shoes, they're mine. Give them back to me.
I ain't giving them shoes back to nobody.
You better give them back to me, Leroy.
I'm keeping them shoes. Oh, yeah, I got anybody's shoes except those.
You did. You get them and give them back.
I'm booted. You're cheating. I got anybody's shoes. I got work to do.
Give me back my shoes.
Stop nobody's shoes. Don't you know what anybody's feet in here?
You bring them back.
Play with your puzzles. I got no shoes. I keep telling you.
You bring them back.
I believe he did it. I was fooling before, but now I believe you kill him. You kill that little boy with your shoes.
You've got them hid.
You hear her, Lynn? She want them damn shoes back.
She was a little tarantula.
That's the way Robert
was
down to take his women panties.
You give them back.
He was just joking with her. He was just joking with her at first. But then he figured out, oh, yeah. You killed that boy with them shoes. And if you'd have seen her, give them shoes back.
Oh, then, yeah, babe.
Why, Robert?
What's that, King J?
Why?
I'm feeling kind of...
Why you... Robert, don't do that, because you make me real nervous when you start breathing like that. You know that.
Okay, sorry about that, King J.
You're not sorry.
You do it all the time.
You might as well just say, hey, fuck you, Jay, man. I'm going to breathe hard until you mute my motherfucking ass. You should say, you do like this, because you say, oh. Hey, why are you doing that, Robert? Oh, I'm sorry. And then a couple of days later, oh.
Robert, I think you and Brown Beasley would be good on a date.
Oh, no.
I'm going to start a campaign to bring Michael Jackson back so you could date him and kiss him.
Mwah.
But we'd have to, like, get you bleached.
Oh, yeah,
because he ain't be kissing on no little black-ass monkey. You got to be white.
There'll be no cheetahs in his fold.
And don't do like Jermaine and change your last name to Jackson. Did you know that Jermaine has changed his name to Jackson, S-U-N?
Yeah.
Why? Because it still sounds the same. How many people are going
to
see that name? Jermaine Jackson.
He thinks he's going to make his name shine.
Bullshit. He needs to grow him a Don King. That'll crown him king.
Jackson, S-U-N, Jackson. So it will be J-A-C-K-S-U-N.
People are going to look like, hey, that looks fucked up.
But he doesn't have a reason why. But he's literally right now, Lynn, petitioning
yeah.
the court to change
and
his name.
And he'll find out in February, right?
Yeah.
Or about
like
the
that.
Chat room saying he's crazy.
Well, you know that.
Well, you know what that is. That he got that hemlock in his hair.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Yeah, Robert don't think he's crazy, though.
Robert,
okay.
NSP.
Okay.
Now you know, Lynn. You know what? Another thing that's sickening to me is
what?
This whole thing with Whitney. Now they're getting ready to honor Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Now that she's dead.
Well, it's a money making thing for them, right?
Of course. Now that Whitney, see, now everybody is going to honor her and talk about how great she is and how wonderful she is. The same sapsuckers that was saying, Whitney lost her damn mind. What's wrong with, you know, people don't realize how much pressure this business put on people. You know, we're great at putting people down.
Oh yeah,
not good at building people up.
Yeah, you guys need to take some lessons.
Who the fuck are you talking to, Robert? Shit.
I said people, Robert. Putting people down, Robert. You're not necessarily a person like that.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, babe.
Now, Robert, we put you down in good fun, and every now and then you know, if I really believed all the stuff we said about you, Robert.
Yeah.
Well, I do. But if I
Williams Darrell is on.
Oh, put him on.
You did it again.
What's
okay,
up, Williams?
You got the floor, WD.
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Who walked
this
in?
This Friday.
Gentlemen, who walked in?
Say King. Oh, no,
yeah.
See, nah, y'all don't know who I was talking to when I said gentlemen.
Who walked in? None of us are gentlemen.
I'm not a gentleman either. Lynn, you on the board?
Yeah, man.
Where's?
Yeah, but
Jay,
you know what I do? What Jay says when I'm on the board for him, you know. So like,
Jay,
if he wants me to mute somebody, I'm gonna mute him.
Jay said, "Open my mic."
Yes, I did.
I love Jay King. Jay keeps giving me everything that I need to fuck up.
You don't need anything to fuck up.
That's why
you're
that's why
like
I love
that
Jay
anyway.
King. I wanna call this day because I did a good thing today, Lynn. I buy properties. This is how I live. I buy properties and I sell them.
Oh my
cash.
God! Hold it! Stop! Hold on. First, you was a theologian.
Uh-huh.
Then you was a murderer. What did he say? He was a hitman. You the pimp?
We don't talk about that too much, Jay.
I
only give you clues.
I'm just saying that you're a pimp.
Accountant.
You're an accountant. You're a race car driver. You're a fireman. And now today, now you're a real estate mogul.
No, I'm not a mogul. I wish I was. I wish I could get some of your money, and I could show you how to be a mogul. But anyway, I bought a property in 2008. I'm trying not to make this boring, but the title company didn't pay a board-up fee and a grass-cutting fee. And I just punished their ass for it. Now they owe me money. The key that Petraeus and Romney and all
how
of
how does that tie in with Petraeus
I'm waiting for this connection right now.
I have no idea how that ties the shit up, but I'm getting my money. I just made $1,500 today for a 30-second phone conversation, and it's Friday, and I'm about to get fucked up.
Wow. Lynn, put him on mute.
No.
And open up AK's line.
He's going to look
AK's
up him.
Hey, AK hung up.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to tell AK, this is what the show has digressed to. He hung up because he said, damn, this is what the show has digressed to?
To this bullshit?
This
bullshit? Wow.
People listen.
I'm glad
to that.
I'm not on the damn show no more with this damn bullshit. WD making a land deal, claiming he's Gene Romney.
And then he don't. And so he called in. He just called in to ramble.
Just to say shit like this. Here we go. Hey, Jay, thank you, man. I love you so much, baby. Hey, Robert, yeah, man. I'm glad you're in those panties, sweetie. Yeah, hey, Carker, yeah, stay white. You be right. Okay, so now, hey, I just called a couple of people yesterday, and we were drinking some Kool-Aid. Oh, my goodness. And let me tell you something. I seen Romney drink some Kool-Aid with David Petraeus. You feel me? I'm the shit now, ain't I? What the fuck is that?
What the hell is he talking about? What is he talking about? So then AK hang up because he said, "Why am I here? This is what,
why am I here?
Yeah. Why am I listening?
I could be
to this?
Getting high. Why the fuck am I here? Shit."
So whatever. Sorry about that, William Durr. You really? Thanks for killing our audience, kicking the audience off the show. Thank you.
Hey, no, there's a lot of people that like Williams Darrell because look how many people voted for Romney. There's your Romney tie-in right there.
we cannot find a phone number on Romney. Lynn, would you ask somebody in the chat room if they could find us a Romney phone number that's working where we can call Romney and we can find out what's going on? We don't want anything. We just want to find out why, you know, why would you cut off your people?
Hey, he's in hiding now, man. He's embarrassed. He thought he was the Big Mac.
No, he came out. He said that he's been talking about Barack. He said that Barack is the president of handouts, that what he did was he handed, you know, he was handing people stuff. And I'm, you know, when he said it, I got excited. And I said, shoot, if he handed people stuff, maybe he going to hand something to me. He ain't handed me a damn thing. Has he handed you anything, Lynn?
Huh?
Has he handed you anything? Because he ain't handed me nothing.
No.
Robert, did you get anything from have you got anything from Barack?
Hell to the, from Barack?
Yeah.
A second bid.
Has he given you anything personally?
Oh, no. But I love
what
him.
What about you? What about you, Graham Carter?
Nope, not at all.
So what the hell is Romney talking about? He didn't hand all this stuff to people, because I don't know anybody that got nothing from him yet. But I'm going to tell you what you guys better stop doing. You better stop eating that Papa John's pizza. You better stop eating that, what's the other pizza place? Name some of the
Domino
pizza place. Domino's Pizza. You better stop eating at Pizza Hut.
Godfather.
You better stop. Godfather Pizza. You better stop eating at McDonald's. You better stop eating at Burger King. You better stop eating at Olive Garden. These are places.
What are all those?
And it's a bunch more. These are places that are starting to lay off people. Because of Obamacare.
Okay, give me the scoop on Obamacare. I don't get it.
I don't either.
Yeah, protesting Obamacare by cutting off a lot of workers.
But Robert, he wants to know, what is Obamacare? Why are employers cutting off? Why are employers?
Well, they don't have to use Obamacare. They can use somebody else.
Well, yeah, but what's doing it is forcing them to have. Some type of insurance package more expensive than what they're used to doing, I believe. I don't know the whole scope
of
it.
So they weren't offering insurance to their employees before?
Well, no, I don't believe so. I don't believe that you know, that.
That's what it is. So yeah. People should be mad at them employees.
Yeah. Or some
employers,
Yeah. Or the way it is, you know what I'm going to do is today I'm going to actually read and research what it is. But I do know this. It's not in favor of the American worker. And it's big business saying, you know what, I want more tax cuts. I want more loopholes. I want less responsibility. I want more money. I don't want to pay into a system that I'm making my employees pay into. I want everything in my favor. I'm rich. I'm rich, bitch. You know, that's what it is. And then, you know, and to me, you know, when you have more, you should do more.
Yep.
And that's just my opinion. When you have more, you should do more.
Cab's on the phone, Lynn.
Which one is that? 770?
Yeah, that's Cab.
Okay. Phyllis, Gabs, Georgia Brown. Hello?
Maybe she didn't. Open the other line.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Now you got yourself off mute.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Now you know I muted myself.
Because.
Anyway, I'm just saying good morning. Anyway, if they have so many employees, the amount of employees and the hours that they work, then the employer has to pay full-time medical. If they're full-time, they got to pay medical care. So if they work so many, that's why they want to have part-time workers, and that's why they're cutting.
Okay, now, so let me ask you this question. They didn't have to, so what was their medicine? Didn't they have to pay full-time medical care before if they had full-time workers?
No, they would usually keep them just under, and then only so many. You know, they really did not have to offer them medical care. And with Obamacare, they have to, you know.
You have to offer everybody, right?
Well, no, not everybody. If they don't have the hours, if you don't have the, I forgot how many hours. I think it's 40
hours.
I think it is a 40-hour work week. Oh, wait a minute, my voice. Excuse me, everybody. If they don't have the 40 hours, then they don't have to pay them. They don't have to give them, you know, medical benefits.
Hmm.
Maybe it's 35, because I used to work for a food thing, and if you got 35 hours, then you were qualified for insurance. You didn't necessarily have to get it. You were qualified, and then the restaurant would have to pay half of your insurance if you took it.
Karina says it's 30 hours, so
okay.
That's why they're 30 hours now, you know, because before it was voluntary.
Yeah.
But they really didn't have to, you know, unless you were a 40-hour employee.
Okay.
It's 30 hours now because she said she looked at it last night. I know that they were, you know, trying to cut the hours and why they were going after the part-time workers instead.
Well, now they're talking about firing people, too.
Laying them off and cutting the hours back.
And they're blaming Obama.
Slam jamming.
And they're saying if it's employees with more than 50 people, not really small businesses. I knew it was a certain amount, but I didn't know how many employees. But it's Karina says it's 50 people. If you employ more than 50 people and they work 30 hours in a week, then you have to give them health care. You have to pay into it.
What's so bad about that?
Nothing.
You've got to make a lot of money.
If you'll have healthy employees. They'll be at work, but you know, the Republicans shooting themselves in the foot again are just dividing, just like they're mad at Romney, you know, because they said, I was reading something where they said even the Republicans are really mad at him because they're trying to change the face of the Republican Party because so many people that they thought would vote for them didn't. And they were trying to figure out why they're not connecting. And
let me shut up. When you talk to them, why don't you tell them something for me? Okay?
Do I look like a Republican?
No, I'm saying when you talk to them, though, because you obviously talk to somebody. When you talk to them, tell them this. The Republican Party ain't got no color. You know, it's all...
Well, none of them.
I mean, it's all white. You know, they don't cater to people of color. So a lot of people of color in this country.
Yes,
you know? When we line up with each other, you can tell the difference we make. Because what they said, 50% of white men voted for Mitt Romney,
and a lot of the Latinos and the youth
voted for
and
us,
the women,
right?
And the blacks, yes,
and the women. Everybody they ticked off. You know, when he opened his mouth, so everybody he ticked off went, you know, they showed a map late last night, and I cracked up because it looked Barack took a bite out of America. It's all that red that they had before, you could see nothing but mostly blue. And I said, of course, it looked like he just not look like it. He went in and kicked his butt like he made a new mud puddle. So I'm like,
well, you know what? A lot of people are saying, you know, that Barack didn't win by a landslide and stuff like that, but he did, Lynn.
Yeah, he did.
You know, when you start looking at the Electoral College, even the people that supported Barack said Barack was going to win and probably have 313 Electoral College votes, which would have been a landslide, a huge victory for him. And he had 332. So he did even better than they thought. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh said this is going to be a landslide victory for Mitt Romney. He's going to have at least 303 Electoral College votes, right?
Right.
And then,
right.
Then when Barack won, he said Barack barely won. The popular vote says blah blah blah. He only won by so many million popular votes. And I said, what happened to them with this Electoral College thing? At first they were talking about the Electoral College. And now they're going to the popular vote.
Anything that makes them look good. You know, anything that makes them look good, they wanna try it and you know, but it's not working, you know. It's just not working. Like he's like, you know, Mitt opened his mouth and said, we don't care about the 47%. So the 47% spoke loud and clear.
They said, we don't care about you either. Now, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, Lynn. The 47% dodged a bullet because you see what Mitt done to the people that worked for him when he lost. Just think what he would have done to the 47% if he won. Welfare would have been cut off the next day. He ain't even a president.
Hey, check this out. They're singing a Marvin Gaye song, and I know you're going to hate this, Jay. Try it, baby.
Who's
they're trying
that?
Anything that could try it, baby. Remember Marvin Gaye's Try It, Baby?
No.
Oh, you missed the early part of Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
It was during Hitchhike.
Yeah, I remember Hitchhike.
But Hitchhike, too.
Okay, yeah. It was during that time.
Okay. Oh, yeah. See, I don't know all that stuff.
Oh my God!
Because I was born in 1962, Lynn.
Well, you heard Hitchhike, right?
Yeah, I heard it because my mama played it.
Well, she must have not liked Try It, Baby. You know, YouTube it and see. It's in there.
Try it. Oh, okay, I'll find it.
Yeah, Try It, Baby.
Is Joe Levy on?
Yeah.
Joe, how you doing?
Good, fellas. How you guys doing this morning?
All right.
Hey man, I'm sitting up here watching this thing with these Republicans do. It's kind of funny because this state of denial, man. I mean, I'm surprised at how depressed these people are, man. I talked to my accountant a couple of days ago, and I called him up. You know, I knew he was a staunch Republican because we talked before the election, and I wasn't gonna gloat because you know it wasn't no need to gloat. But I called him up to talk about you know. Doing my year-end business. And, man, this dude, he was so friggin' depressed. He was like, man, I know I got to get together with you and handle our business, and I've just been in mourning the last 3 days, and I guess I'll just go buy gold and stock up on perishable items and on non-perishable. I was like, what? I thought he was kidding. I said, are you serious? He was dead serious. He sounded like he was 1 step from jumping off a building. I mean, these people are really, really, really upset, man. And I cannot figure it out. I mean, I don't understand. Did the world just jump off a cliff all of a sudden?
No, not the world. Let me say something about white people.
Mm-hmm.
White people are like Little Lord Fauntleroy. I want it. They wanted this presidency. They wanted it. And they were going to lie, steal, or crook to get it.
You know what I really think?
They tried to do it by rigging this election, by making it difficult for people to vote. And they thought that that was going to change the game for them, and it didn't. You know, so, you know, Barack's, and you guys know that I'm not a super Barack supporter. I'm not like that. I'm not all in. I'm not like, you know, Laker girl and, you know, Verinda, where I'm nut holding and all that stuff. You know, but I know that for what this country needs, Romney wasn't going to be the ticket. He wasn't going to work out for us. Not to bring a country together to further separate a country. He'd have been the best. But this country can't win. This country can't make it with us separated. This country is only going to make it if we all start coming together and pulling together, because we're in for some tough times. We're in for a tough ride. And I think one thing that I will give Stephanie on this one, as Stephanie said, Barack is going to be different in his second term. And he sounds a little different to me now. You know, he got a little more swag and confidence. And if he follows through on what he's mandating himself to do right now, then we are going to see something different. We are going to see a change. But this economy, a lot of things have to change in this economy. Prices have to come down. Price of housing, price of food, price of clothing, price of entertainment. The price of things have to come down so that people can afford them. Because until we make basic life essentials affordable, you know, we're going to be in peril. There's going to be a possibility that this thing can spiral out of control. This whole economic structure can spiral out of control, and we will have some type of civil unrest that will grow and will split this country, because there's already 20 states that put an application to secede from America. 20.
You know what the problem with that is, Jay? Is that they really thought his first election was a fluke. They really did. They really thought that people were just hype about a black man, and, you know, he's clean and he's articulate. So that was a fluke. This is what I'm understanding. And they really thought the first election was a fluke. They never in a million years thought he would win second a term. Especially with all the
Well, I gotta say this, Joe. It ain't just that, you know, I mean, Barack did not do, for me, Barack did not do what he said he was gonna do. He said he was gonna be the president of change. If we wanted more of the same, we could have McCain. He gave us more of the same. He took care of big business. He took care of insurance companies. He took care of the rich. He did not take care of the people the way he said he would the first time around. So I think more than anything, I don't think anybody, I think a lot of people, you know, really, because not just white people either. I've talked to black people, some black people that are afraid to say it in public because they don't want the ridicule and they don't want people in their face. I would hope somebody got my face to talk about it. You know, Barack got to be, he got to stand up. You know, we cannot afford for Barack as black men, for Barack to ignore the issue that is prevalent in this country when it comes to racial bigotry toward and inequality towards black males. And, you know, the fact that we're dying at an alarming rate, and not because we're unhealthy, but because it's unhealthy for us to be in the presence of a police officer who's supposed to be there to serve and protect. And we are being murdered and incarcerated at an alarming rate. You know, the Troy Davis fiasco was a disappointment. The Jordan Miles situation was a disappointment, that the president and that Eric Holder or anybody didn't step in and go correct that situation. The thing that happened to my man Grant, what's his name over there in Oakland? Grant.
Oscar Grant.
Yeah, that thing that Barack didn't make the Department of Justice step in and rectify that situation. And what they do is they just let this stuff die down. And you know that starts at the top, Joe. That starts with our president. The fact that Henry Gates couldn't even walk into his own house without being arrested, even after he showed proof that he was in fact, the person who resided at his home, and to get arrested by a police officer who the president called the jackass, because that was a jackass move, only to invite him to his house for beer. Those things don't work. They don't bode well for us as black males. So, you know, and a lot of middle America whites, young, 45 and under, voted for Barack the first time out, male and female. And, you know, and he let the American dream, he let their home be taken from crooked banks who are going into the business, you guys, they're going to be in the rental business. You watch, banks are going to start rental divisions, and they're going to start renting out this property, and because they can't afford to put all this inventory on the open market because it's going to kill the housing market for them. So they've ripped off the American public a lot of different ways. Number one, by selling faulty loans in this mortgage, the adjustable mortgage, that they knew was faulty. They knew that it was a flawed instrument, but they sold it to the American public, especially to a lot of elderly people. And then they took the home from them. That's not the American way. Barack Obama should have answered to that the first time out, because he could have, Joe. And he should have made it a point to say, you know what, I'm a president of change. I'm not going to allow this to happen to the American people. And then he should have, you know,
agreed
to make sure that didn't happen.
I agree with that. I agree.
And so that's why I think a lot of the disappointment is that, you know, he was bold and broad on his first time out, on what he said he would do, and he didn't live up to it. And I don't even blame the economy on him. I don't care about the economy, because he inherited that mess. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about his words, his promise, you know, his campaign platform. So I think that's why you also are having a lot of disappointment. As long as you are voting, you have a right to complain, you have a right to criticize, you have a right to say what you like and what you don't like. And I got to be honest, if Romney would have been anywhere different, where I felt like he was going to look out for the people, at least sell me a better dream, he would have got my vote, because Barack lost it. But Mitt Romney made sure that I was going to vote for Barack Obama.
I agree with you on that. I think it was all a dance, if you really want to know the truth. I really agree with you on that. But I do see Barack Obama as one thing. You know, he's a long game player. He's really a chess master. And what he's doing is he's setting the Democratic Party up to win the elections probably the next two or three cycles. I mean, if you look down the road at what he's doing and how he's going about it, I mean, for instance,
yeah, but Joe, but I don't care that the Democrats win if they're not going to do nothing for the people. It don't matter to
me.
I
agree.
The Democrat, and that's another thing for black folk. We have to consider, you know, not party affiliation, but game plan. We have to, you know, I'm not so staunch Democratic anymore because they haven't done what they're supposed to do. They haven't stepped up to the plate like they were supposed to, and done the thing. And another thing, we need to get. That's why it's so important to me that Alan Wayne Warren gets elected, because, you know, because these are going to be the next politicians, these guys. So at least now, if we get involved early, and if we start becoming involved as a community on a local level, and you know, our local politicians will end up being our state politicians, who end up being our U.S. politicians.
See, but that's the key. The people are going to have to get involved.
Yeah.
It ain't up to just the president. The people have to get involved. And,
that's right.
And the fact that, you know, it looks like it's a civil war. This looks like the second civil war. Not that it's going to get to that, but 20 states won out of the country situation. That's a division of the country. And for me, I'm going to defend Obama, you know, from watching. If the Republicans – here's the thing. Here we go right here. When Obama first got elected, there were quite a few Republicans saying, we want to make this guy a one-term guy. Okay, so then now they're so gung-ho on beating Obama, they're not even considering how people are feeling, and that's evident in what a couple of Republican congressmen or senators said and what Romney said, what they said during the campaign, how they acted, how they felt. They didn't give a shit about the people.
That's right.
Okay, and then number two, instead of, like, you know, sulking and pouting because you lost the election, here's the time to come together and work for the people. But, as you say, Jay, if you don't put people like Alan Wayne Warren in, ain't shit going to change. Shit ain't going to change. It ain't going to change.
You know what? If we don't vote like we didn't, we had, with the last election, we had everything handed to us as a Democrat because we controlled the House, the Senate, and, the legislature, the Congress, excuse me. We controlled it all, but they forgot. We forgot. The masses forgot to go out and vote with that same vigor and with that same tenacity that they put them in office. And we, the people, did not get out there and vote. They forgot about it. So the next election is 2 years away. You got to show them. You got to keep your eye on them and then vote the right way so that he doesn't have to battle this stuff.
Now, there needs to be a penalty clause. There needs to be, like, you know, if a police officer doesn't do his job, he gets ousted. You know, so if a councilman or a senator or a congressman or a president, if he doesn't perform, he got to go, period.
Yeah, but that's subjective. You know, it's subjective. Some people will say he is doing his job, while others will say he won't based on what their needs are. My deal is this, Phyllis, with Barack. Barack had the majority in the House and the Senate when he first came in.
Mm-hmm.
He had the majority, and that's when he should have done all the work. That's when he should have done all the work we're talking about. And all I was, and you guys know, I've never said anything, Lynn, except three things: remodify home loans, make sure small businesses are able to get loans, and you know, beat down Wall Street. Don't give Wall Street and the insurance company's money. Don't do it. Because now that's big. Now you're supporting big business again. We already had a guy in there who supported big business. George Bush already told us he was the president for haves and the have-mores. That's the big business guy. We didn't need a president to go back in here, tell us that he's going to be a president of change, and deal with big business. And that's what Barack did. And that's what I don't want him to do this time. That's what today he's got to show us, that he's for the little guy. And one thing that I love about him that he's doing right now, that I got a lot of respect for him, is that he's saying, look, I'm rich, and you guys are rich, and we who are rich need to play our part. We need to pay more into this country. We got to help bail this country out. And, I mean, you know, people think money is everything. But I want you to just think about this, Lynn. If you had all the money in the world, you didn't have to work for nothing. You could buy anything you wanted. Would it make you happy to see that other people are suffering while you got everything that you want, everything that you need?
No,
because I don't have all the money in the world right now, and it don't make me happy to see people suffering.
Absolutely.
I'm never going to change. I think that the temper of the man or woman, if the case that may be, you know, if the temper of the man is right, it don't make any difference whether you have money or not.
The point I'm making is this. I don't care how much money you have. You know, you can have it all. You could do anything you want to do. If you're living in a world that's disrupted and disruptive, then that means that your life at some point is going to be disrupted or disruptive. It's going to be affected by this disruption. So you can have everything you want, but if it doesn't affect everybody else, if other people aren't living, don't have the means to live the same kind of life, eventually those people are going to revolt. Those people are civil unrest is going to happen. So you have everything you want in a world that's crumbling around you, that means that it could end up being nothing. Because a dollar don't have to be worth anything. You could have, you know, when civil unrest happens and a country starts to fall apart, everything changes. That means that the value of everything changes. A dollar may not be worth anything. If civil unrest happens in this country, the total economy may change.
They're not going to be.
It might not be called a dollar anymore. So you could have $100 billion, and they equal nothing. These guys don't see that. They only see what's good for them. And if you in today's world, I'm sorry, you cannot live seeing just what's good for you. You got to live seeing what's good for everything around you. If you want to have a good sustainable life in today's world, because we all really affect each other in a big way now. And Mitt Romney and them, those guys, they're out of touch with the world. They're out of touch with world thinking. They're greed mongers. They're greedy. They know how to get money. They know how to make money. They know how to power for them is what they're reaching for. And it's all they want. They want power. They want to control people. They don't give a damn.
Don't give a damn, man. They don't give a damn.
I'm sorry.
Well, man, you know, the president
707-655. You know who that is?
No. Let me go into the thing. Let me log in real quick.
Find out. Who is this? 707-655. Hello? They hung up.
Okay, that's right. They probably didn't know that they were in the queue. You know, sometimes Blog Talk will put you in the queue.
Of course. I told you that a long time ago. You called me a liar.
I never called you a liar, man.
I'm just joking, but that sounded good, didn't it?
It did sound good. But I wasn't going, because then everybody would have been. You know what? If we'd let that go all day, everybody would have been talking. They would have been calling each other.
J. Cole, man, a liar.
You called me a liar? What? Yeah, man, J. Cole. Oh, man, Jay is getting out of control. You know what? I knew it. It's starting to go to his head. The Jay King Network.
I'm the shit starter, the instigator. That's right, the originator, not the duplicator.
J. Cole, general manager, a liar.
Oh, man. And then, you know, then the call, man, did you hear? What, on the air? Yeah. He did it on the air. Oh, man, that's so disrespectful. I'm going to go back and listen to it.
Trouble's brewing over at the JKN.
And then they go back and listen to it, and it ain't there. And they say, oh, man. Man, Jay took it out. Dude, he took it out the queue. What? Yeah, it's not. The show don't even exist. He got rid of the show. Oh, no, the show is there. Oh, okay. You know what he did? They edited it out. Because I heard it. I heard when he said it. So they must have edited it. Yeah, they're going to make it happen.
How did rumors get started? They started when someone farted.
Woo! So we got all the way. You know, I had a whole show lined up today, Lynn.
And you
like
got,
I always do.
You got derailed.
I don't even know. I know AK called in and derailed the show. I don't know
and then,
why.
Then Six calls and he doesn't talk.
And then WD calls and he talks, but he shouldn't
with
have talked.
Some Walt Disney shit.
We needed Six to talk. We needed WD not to talk.
Woo! But every time you have a show planned, it don't go as planned. So you ought to, like, you know, not plan and then just do. And then it'll probably be like this. Okay, this is what I'm going to do today. Okay. Good morning, everybody. This is Jay King. I'm going to show Kings in the Morning. With me are my co-hosts, Richard Blakely.
Who is that? It was Richard Blakely. Oh, my God. Richard Blakely. He don't even sound like he's supposed to be on the show with me. Right,
Richard
I'm
Blakely.
With Richard
yeah.
Blakely.
On my show with me today is David Petraeus. Oh, yeah. We're looking for some Benedict Arnold shit now, baby.
And you know, and I'm, you know, the hatred that they have on Capitol Hill,
yes,
has to stop.
Has to,
because it's ridiculous.
But you know, the people are still an array to me in the country. They're still an array, because mm-hmm. if as many people who voted for Obama stop doing something, if they stop going to a certain gas station or a certain pizza place or a certain bank or something, they would stand up and take notice.
Yep.
But we go back to our regular lives each time.
Yep.
Yep.
And as long as that happens, you know, as long as the politicians know you ain't going to do shit, they're going to get away with whatever they want. Because they're living and styling and profiling expense accounts, you know, doing this and that, planning, meeting, getting paid for it. The best, not second or third, which is still great, the best health care available, they got it.
Yeah.
And money. They got money and security. They got everything. And I'm not saying they're problem-free, because I'm pretty sure they have their problems, you know. But they're not worried about nothing.
That's right. You're listening to the J. King Network, Kings in the Morning. My name is J. King with Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis, and Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's Earth, Wind, and Fire with Guiding Light from the Now, Then, and Forever CD coming out in 2013. And that's that boy Larry Dunn right there on that damn piano on that Moog, that mini Moog. Hey, Lynn, I want to say, you know, you guys look out for this upcoming jet. I believe Karen White is going to be in this upcoming jet. If it's not this one, it's the following one. She's got a feature story in there.
Congratulations.
Wow.
She's moving on up.
I used to deliver jets when I was a mailman.
Yeah, I used to have jet all on my wall when I was a kid.
Jet magazine used to have that centerfold. And, yes, you know, what happened was it became a commercial because everybody, you know, everybody went to that centerfold to see that babe in the bathing suit.
Yeah, babe.
And then one time you open it up and it was a commercial for Tide detergent. And I'm thinking, I said to myself, where's the bathing suit?
In the washing machine.
That's why I showed the Tide. Well, she's got that, you know, then when the Soul Train Awards come up, you guys are probably going to see her a lot on the Soul Train Awards.
Okay.
Because, you know, she was sitting next to, she and Stokely were sitting with each other.
Who's the host of the Soul Train Awards show now?
I want to say they said Cedric the Entertainer.
I think so.
That's what, I want to say that that's what they were.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
It's a good pick. Hey, okay. Jay just dropped off.
He did. Oh, man.
Yeah. Wow. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I guess because they couldn't do it to the doc. The doc was on earlier, but she didn't say anything. Okay. What happened?
I don't know what happened. I don't know, but you know what?
It
was somebody hung it up. So we're back to that thing again. So we're gonna change. We're gonna change it all together.
Yeah, we're gonna go back to what we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not on the board.
Huh?
I'm not on the board. So.
We didn't say you were.
Okay.
We didn't say you did it, Carker, but we got our suspicions.
Suspicions torments my heart. Terry Stafford. Suspicions keeps us apart. Why don't you me? I thought that was Elvis Presley.
I was going ready to tell you something. That's a shame. My mind just be going too fast.
You're getting older, man, and you do a lot. You text, you talk, you call, you write, you organize, you produce. Yeah.
Yeah, I do all that stuff.
Do you sleep? You're going to be performing in the show tomorrow at Club Nouveau tomorrow night.
Yeah.
You know, so of course. That means you had to be practicing at some point.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, that's what we haven't done yet. We're going to do that today. And Karen is doing a reality show.
Okay.
And she does it. I can't. I'm not
is she going to be on more than one episode or just one episode?
No, she's one of the main.
She's one of the cast. Uh-oh. We're going to see Karen let it all hang out. Let it all hang out, Karen.
Yes, sir.
and she's doing a tour. She's going to tour next year.
Man,
Karen, the true KY.
Yeah. We were talking
yesterday, and I said, Karen, you know, once it starts moving, it's going to be moving. She said, yeah, I know. She said, I need to just relax for the next. So yesterday she went and got her feet and hair done. She got a massage. She went on a cruise.
Did she have her dog with her everywhere? I'm joking. But
we know that this is going to be that it's going to be a lot of movement come the first of the year.
Yeah.
And Bella lived better than most so-called American Negroes.
I'm sure.
One day, you know, Karen said, "Jay, I want you to meet me over here, and you know, we need to have lunch." And I said, "Okay," you know, and I met her for lunch, and Bella was sprawled out, like, you know, just like laid out. I'm talking about with her back, laying on her back, and a guy was just clipping her toenails, and somebody was doing her hair, and she had a little doggy straw with some mimosa. And she looked at me like, what the hell are you doing here?
I bet she got a lot of people saying, I wish I was her dog.
Could you just imagine a dog laid out, you know, sprawled all out, toenails get just...
And here's what's funny. The dog apparently knows what's happening and is in total relaxation.
Yeah. She's laid out like, what are
this
doing
is
here?
The shit here.
Okay,
you Dobermans ain't got shit on me. You Dobermans.
Exactly. You know, they say the poodle is the smartest dog in the world. So, now, you guys know that this girl, Jill Kelly, who started this thing, I know Petraeus want to kick her little hind parts.
Yeah.
Because of Jill Kelly, talking about this other lady who was threatening her or saying something to her, she went to the FBI. The FBI had a hound dog investigator who wouldn't let this thing die. They told him to be cool, and he said no. He took it to two congressmen, and that's how this thing woke itself back up and got started. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, so a New York businessman who discussed a multi-billion-dollar Korean business deal with Jill Kelly said the Tampa woman, who's at the center of the Petraeus scandal, told him General Petraeus had arranged for her to become an honorary consul for South Korea and promote free trade. And then she asked him for $80 million to complete the deal. Miss Kelly made it clear to me that General Petraeus put her in this position, and that's why she was able to have access to such senior level of Korean government. Adam Victor, president and CEO of TransGas Development Systems, he said they were essentially doing a favor for General Petraeus and that she had access solely because of her relationship with General Petraeus. Victor, who met Kelly at the Republican National Convention in Tampa in August, said he was disappointed in General Petraeus for helping Kelly become an honorary consul. Frankly, I blame General Petraeus for this as a lapse of judgment, he said. The general should have known better. Now, if the deal had went through, he wouldn't have been saying this. General Petraeus resigned as CIA director last Friday after an FBI investigation turned up evidence of an affair between Petraeus and Paula Broadwell, who's the co-author of Petraeus' biography, All In. The investigation began when Kelly, a Tampa Bay socialite, told an FBI agent she knew about harassing emails that turned out to originate from Broadwell. According to Victor, he went to Tampa to promote coal gasification and met a friend of Kelly's who suggested that they meet to discuss a possible international deal. The person who introduced me to her said she was well known to be a very close friend of General Petraeus. Victor said that he and Kelly met at the VIP section at the convention, where Kelly said she was a very good friend of General Petraeus's, and that he arranged for her to get this position of honorary consul for Korea to promote for free trade. She also allegedly said she had access to senior government officials in Korea. Victor said he thought it made sense that Petraeus would want to put a trusted aide in charge of promoting free trade. When Kelly named her fee for brokering the deal, however, Victor balked. The coal gasification plant under discussions were worth $4 billion, said Victor. And Kelly wanted a 2% cut. That's an $80 million fee, he said. And I mean, that is problematic. No broker gets $80 million. I mean, that's two whole orders of magnitude higher than what they would get. Victor said he terminated the relationship after Kelly asked for $80 million. He decided that while she was not making an appropriate request on purpose, it showed she was inexperienced and unqualified for the job. He also began to wonder about Petraeus' judgment. It became clear that it did not smell right, he said. General Petraeus should not have put an inexperienced person in charge of a free trade agreement with such an important ally as South Korea. It's a sad day for the country. General Petraeus has served this country well. So, first of all, if you notice, he was cool with her, Lynn, up until her feet. He met with her, and you know, and General Petraeus was good. She was the right person to have up until her feet. And that is a lot of money.
And what if she was going to give part of that money to Petraeus?
Well, that becomes the question. You know, that's why, number one, he's right. You can't have inexperienced people in a position of power like this because they can make you look bad. You know,
but if they would have pulled it off, he'd have been, like, sitting pretty.
Yeah, in any business, though. You know, even in the music business, a lot of people have people that represent them, whether they're, you know, inexperienced lawyers, inexperienced consultants, inexperienced managers that don't know how to keep a deal alive or that don't
right.
know what to ask for. And, you know, and next thing you know, you're saying, what happened to this deal? Well, hey, you got inexperience on your side, and they didn't know how to keep the deal alive. They didn't know what to ask for. They asked for too much. Or your representation just didn't look good. So, I don't understand why he would put somebody like that in that kind of position. And then what the hell is she doing at the Republican convention anyway? Little nasty ass. She married. You know, she out meeting with people. Her husband don't
but,
know.
But her husband but probably said like this, get that money, baby. Get that money. Get that paper, sugar.
No, his mistress is saying, aren't you worried about your wife?
No, the convention's in town. She's such a little groupie.
She don't even know I'm not home. It's just you and me, baby. It's just you and me, 23. It's just you and me. All right, Lynn, so today is Friday, right?
Yeah, it is. All day.
Honeycomb Hideout, today in the on the basement, L. DeBarge Jr., I believe it's a guest in the first hour.
Yeah.
And Chris Jasper, who was in Isley, Jasper Isley, and also in the Isley Brothers, 3+3.
Great. Yeah.
It's the pride that keeps strong. Yeah, so that's going to be that's from 4 to 6 p.m. today, Pacific Standard Time, of course. And then right after that, immediately following that, from 6 to 7 p.m., it's the Honeycomb Hideout with Johnny Graham Cracker Davis, the Carker Man. Johnny,
that's that honey for your money, sweetie.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What you doing on the Honeycomb Hideout?
We got the Motown remix. I'm playing all Motown cuts remixed up. It's going to be nice. Huh. You ain't never heard them like this before.
Okay, so that's from 6 to 7 p.m. And then from 7 to 9 p.m., we have Gail Smith Harris with Friday Night Fever. I believe she's doing a repeat show.
The Gold Diggers.
Gold Diggers and Punk Niggers. I'm joking. I should have.
Yeah, I got
that.
A song called Punk Nigger. I'll upload it for next week.
Yeah, but I said Punk Niggers. It's a different. Oh, wow. Okay, so it's going to be a good show. So the doc, I guess we kept the doc on hold too long, Lynn.
She dropped off.
Yeah, that's good. We did a good thing right there. Because I don't think we could have took the doc 2 days in a row. I'm sorry.
Not like a prescription.
Remember when we thought the doc might have been attracted to somebody on the show?
We all thought she was attracted to you.
No,
yeah.
She wasn't attracted to me. But you know what we found out now?
What's that?
The doc is attracted to herself. She's just attracted to hearing herself talk.
they got mirrors for people like that. It's like a floating mirror that goes around that has, like, certain mirror panes that are angled around your head so you could always see where you're at and always see what a great position. You know, always. It's called the always mirror.
Yeah, well, what we found out was the doc was attracted to herself because she liked to hear herself talk. And I'm glad we found that out, though, because the doc is something else. But we can't deal with the doc all the time, y'all. Only sometimes. This is for you, Robert.
Hey.
13 years that have passed since the Columbine High School tragedy, when 12 students and one teacher were killed, shooter Dylan Claybaugh's parents have remained largely silent about living a parent's worst nightmare until now. In a shocking confession, Sue Claybaugh claims that on the day of the massacre, April 20th, 1999, when she discovered that her son Dylan was one of the shooters, she prayed he would kill himself. I had a sudden vision of what he might be doing. And so while every other mother in Little John was praying that her child was safe, I had to pray that mine would die before he hurt anyone else. This break in Claybaugh's silence comes as part of Andrew Solomon's new book, Far From the Tree. an exploration of atypical children. Solomon spent 11 years researching the book, which contained a controversial chapter on children who commit crimes. In the months following the Columbine tragedy, many people demanded to know the reasoning behind Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold's actions. Desperate for answers, they blamed their parents, assuming the shooters must have been brought up in unhappy, even violent homes. But Solomon claimed that Klebolds are loving and kind. And remembering that day in April, Sue Klebold explains the agonizing decision she had to make when she realized her son was one of the shooters. I thought that if this was really happening and he survived, he would go into the criminal justice system and be executed. And I really couldn't bear to lose him twice. I gave the hardest prayer I ever made that he would kill himself, because then at least I would know he wanted to die and wouldn't be left with all the questions I'd have if he got caught by a police bullet. Maybe I was right, but I spent so many hours regretting that prayer. I wished for my son to kill himself, and he did. The Klebolds still live in Little John, Colorado, in the same house they lived in back in 1999. In fact, when Solomon traveled to interview them for the book, he slept in Dylan's old bedroom. And speaking to the Klebolds, he found them very open, a stark contrast to the other parents interviewed for the crime chapter. Tom Klebold said, "We are able to be open and honest about those things because our son is dead. We can't hope for him to do something else, something better. You can tell a story a whole lot better when you know it's ending." And if anything, the Klebold's testimony in this book proves that the power of parental love overcomes the unimaginable. When asked what they would say to Dylan if they could speak to him now, Tom says, "I'd ask him what the hell he was thinking and what the hell he thought he was doing." Sue's answer is a revelation. She says, "I would ask him to forgive me for being his mother and never knowing what was going on inside his head, for not being able to help him, for not being the person he could confide in." Wow.
See the difference?
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question, and I can ask all of you guys.
That's Jay Rao. That's Jay Rao on the line.
Okay. Hey, would you sleep in the bed of that guy?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're writing a book, you do. You know, if you're writing a book, you know, I mean, because you want to feel things, you know, that's just that weird thing, you know, it's like somebody playing somebody's instrument, you know, or blowing somebody's horn or singing on a microphone that somebody, you know, that some great person used. That's just, you know, that's just weird like that. Is dark skin on?
Yeah,
light skin. How you doing?
Dark skin. I don't have my computer with me, so because I'm in Alaska, so Lynn is texting me. But I'm reading the story, so I couldn't read the text and the story at the same time.
I'm good about that. I'm just saying, how can I come in with my life when you just read that story, brother? I'm just going to say what's happening to all the brothers on the panel and on the show, I should say. And assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Yeah, walaikum salam.
Hey, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a street nigga, so. If it sounded close, you would have to go with that. I'm a street nigga.
You could have said I'm not worried about being correct.
You know, everybody in the group will say like this, right on. You like this. Assalamu alaikum. Salaikum salam. Hey, you said it wrong. Nobody's going to.
No, you might as well have said the freaking alarm.
Right, whatever. And everybody like this. Yeah, that's Tolliver. Yeah, fuck him. Shit, he cool.
Oh, damn, we praying too. What's up, fellas?
What's happening, Jay Ryle?
Boom! Chilling.
Hey, man, let me say this to you as a professional announcer from 1968.
Yes.
You carry yourself pretty well on the microphone.
Thank you, I think. Thank you.
Well, it's no setup. You know, if I was going to say, hey,
okay,
man, you ain't shit, baby.
And then I was saying, we playing 5 minutes, dog. That's what I was saying. We playing in 5 minutes. damn. Hey, man, let me ask y'all something. Y'all catch, I'm sorry if y'all already talked about this. Did y'all talk about that damn show that Dr. Princess O'Dea had last night? They just took over the damn show and told her to shut the hell up.
No, we didn't. I didn't hear the show because I was flying. What happened?
Man, look here, bro. Look, they had Mac Mama on there last night, and boy, Dr. Princess O'D was trying to run her show, and they were telling her to sit her ass down. Matter of fact, they trying to vote her off the damn show. I said, damn, that was cold stuff.
Who did, Mac Mama?
Mac Mama, Momo B, they all tried to kick off the show. I was like, damn, I felt sorry
she
for my
like,
girl.
She was like, I love Mac Mama. Okay. Mac Mama don't love you.
I was like, hey, girl, let me tell you how to do this. Matter of fact, sit your ass down and let me do this. You know, her new word now is doing the darn thing. You are just doing the darn thing. You're just doing the darn thing.
OMG.
So now, like, so now I got to, now I got, let me see. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. OMG. OMG. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, OMG. You know what? You know what? Okay, you know what? Okay, I got to say this. Okay, I'm not going to talk a long time. Okay, oh, my God, OMG, you are just doing the darn thing. You are. You are a darn thing doer.
Oh, man, I feel sorry for my girl last night. They were in that ass, so I can't wait so far.
Now, how long did it take the show over?
Well, yeah, they should have took the show. They, well, they did. Hell, the callers called in, told them to shut the hell up. I was like, damn.
For how long? The callers told her to shut up?
All the callers were coming in and saying, yeah, because she was trying to do a little two-purpose commercial. They was like, we don't want to hear that mess. Stop playing them damn purpose. I said, oh, damn.
So first of all, let me say this. A commercial is supposed to be anywhere from 30 to 60 seconds. She got 30-minute commercials.
She got an infomercial. She's an infomercial.
Yeah. It's too much.
Oh, did she try to play the To Be moment by Barbara Hofmeister? Oh, damn. Why did she play that? Boy, they talked about her ass when they came back out that break. Boy, I was laughing my ass off, man. I said, this is the best time I ever had on this show.
What happened? What's the To Be moment? What's the To Be moment?
The B moment is some German lady, some German chick that Dr. Princess Audia met at some place, and I don't know, man. They all crazy. She mad. I know she mad now. She's listening. I don't care. Hell.
She ain't listening. We Lynn did her dirty. She was in the queue. Lynn never put her on.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no, that wasn't me, man. Don't blame that shit on me. I'm running the board for you, so if you say put them on, I put them on. If you say take them off, I take them off. So
I didn't know she was in the queue for a long time.
Bullshit. But, bullshit. Bullshit.
Get him, Lynn. Lynn said, you're going to throw me up under the bus, my brother. Hell no.
Shit like this. You're going to be like, what's that guy's name on the – he threw Katie Couric under the bus?
Hey, we gotta pray real quick because I gotta come back with this story. I want to ask you about something real quick right after this dark skin, because this is gonna trip you guys out.
All right,
let me get it together now. You didn't text me. Oh my goodness gracious! I feel I'm bodacious. That little song has been brought to you by Toby. Toby, the good nigga master.
Rich, dummy.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do we mean that when we say it? Or are we asking God to forgive our wrongdoings, but we're not willing to forgive others for things they have done to us? Yet we say it. When we pray, do we mean what we say? Or are we just going through the ritual of it, because that's what other people do? As we forgive those who trespass against us, and often things done against us are not as bad as what we have done on others. Not saying that is always the case, but a lot of us don't play fair. God, do you hear me praying to you for all of us? Amen.
been praying for you. He said for all of us.
Oh, yeah, baby.
He's that God voice, too. Boy, it scared me a little bit.
Yeah, when, when he put that... Hey, Don Jim, when he put that God voice on you, you'd be like, oh. You know?
He like, yeah, is Jesus here? Oh, my God. Wow.
Wow. When he go Jesus on you. Okay, you guys. So listen to this, Lynn.
Okay.
A Florida restaurateur is imposing a surcharge for Obamacare. A Florida restaurateur who operates roughly 40 Denny's locations and 5 Hurricane Grill and Wing franchises in Florida, Virginia, and Georgia intends to add a 5% surcharge to customers' bills to offset costs from Obamacare beginning in January 2014 when the Affordable Care Act is fully implemented. People are trying to find ways to avoid the penalties and to avoid having to pay for Obamacare, John Metz told FoxNews.com. Everyone's looking for a way to not have to provide insurance for their employees. It's essentially a huge tax on all us business people. To further offset the cost, Metz, who oversees roughly 1,200 employees as president and CEO of RREMC Restaurants, LLC, said he also will slash most of the staff's time to fewer than 30 hours per week. That change will be announced to employees next month. So I want you guys to understand what he just said. He's going to add a 5% surcharge for Obamacare, yet he's slashing most of the staff time. That don't make no sense. Now do that.
He's going to be chasing people away from his restaurant.
Mm-hmm. I want to explain it to everybody to let them know what's coming down the pike, he said. We like to keep our employees informed. The changes will force some front-of-the-house employees to look for second jobs.
Boycott.
Metz said, but he simply can't afford the penalties associated with Obamacare. It's a great concept, he said. We want to have everyone insured. The problem is, who is going to pay for it, and how are we going to accomplish this? Under the current law, employers with more than 50 full-time or equivalent workers will be charged a penalty for the number of employees exceeding 30 full-time staffers not covered, with an average of 35 full-time employees per location. Metz said that the $2,000 penalty would total roughly $70,000 per restaurant. Not if you pay it. Not if you just get the health care, goofball. Current coverages cost Metz up to $6,000 annually per full-time employee, he said. He currently provides coverage to about 250 employees. It's going to be a big issue for all of us, for my employees and for me, Metz said, who have been in the industry since 1995. The ones that are working more than 28 hours, they're going to act as if I'm cutting their hours, and they'll have to find another job. At Denny's restaurants, operated by Metz, the average check is $9, he said, meaning the Obamacare surcharge, if implemented, will be 45 cents on that bill. At Hurricane Grill and Wings location, where the average bill is $14, the surcharge would total 72 cents. Metz said he believes the entire restaurant industry, even high-end locations, will ultimately embrace the idea. So my thing is this. If you're going to do that, if you're going to do the surcharge, Why are you going to cut everybody's
right? Exactly.
Hours.
Mm-hmm. Hours. You can't. You know. You can't have it both ways. It just
can't have your
no
cake
sense.
And eat it too.
Boycott. Boycott. Will Robinson.
And that's bogus,
but you know,
man,
what I do like about it is this. Mm-hmm. He said we really should look for a better or different way to pay for Obamacare. I think what we're going to ultimately see here is a European style system where we have a value added tax or a national sales tax. And I agree with him. There has to be a better way, because I gotta be honest, I don't know if I was an employer of that many employees that I would want to have to pay health care, because it becomes it cuts into your margin. A lot of people think that these guys are making a bunch of money, you know, and they're not. You know, these restaurants, Lynn, are operating on a 3-5% profit margin.
Right.
You know, so, you know, when somebody's doing, you know, $20 million a year, 3% of $20 million in profit is $600,000 a year. That's what you're paying. That's what you're making in profit. That's a lot of money. You know, if you make, you know, if you make 5%, you're making $1 million in profit. Still a lot of money to make in profit. That's after you pay all your taxes, all your bills, and everything. But what happens is this: that Obamacare, that it eats into that margin. And so that's where the problem is. So I get it. But as long as these guys aren't blaming Barack, you know.
This guy did not blame Barack.
This guy did not blame
Barack. Maybe he
don't. I'm talking about this guy. I'm saying, because I understand because I think we got to go, right, Lynn?
You got to like 30 seconds.
Okay, you guys. We're going to get into this on Monday, Dark Skin. Hey, get busy living because you're going to have enough time dying. My name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis, and Dark Skin telling you guys to go get it, whatever it is, it's yours.
Boycott Will Robinson.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Block Talk radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Block Talk radio show.